Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yeah!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot, and the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my ass.
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. It's a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report. Don't forget, we do this each weekday at 11 a.m. right here on the Big X Sports Radio. But if you can't catch us at 11, there are plenty of other ways to catch up with our show, which right this time of year is a great focus on IU basketball and, of course, local sports as well. A lot of basketball in that conversation, too. We have a replay most days at 3 o'clock right here on 1450 and 96.1. Also, our podcast is on SoundCloud and Apple Podcasts. Those are free apps that you can access fairly easily online or on your mobile device. So plenty of ways to catch up with our show. Lots of great guests every day. And we appreciate all of you that are with us on the program each and every day and interact with us and listen to the podcast and tweet in questions. I'm always available at Hoosier Hills on Twitter. A lot of you communicate with me that way, and I appreciate that and look forward to it each day here on the program. Let's take a look at the lineup today. The guest lineup is a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, Hoosier Headlines, presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville, is what's on tap here in just a few moments. And a lot of our notes and mentions today in the headlines will come from what Archie Miller said last night right here on the Big X on the Archie Miller Coaches Show, the radio show that he has Monday nights. Most Monday nights it's live, not every Monday night from the Holiday Inn in Bloomington, but it was last night. Lots of good information about the team. He talked about Romeo and his shooting and even a little thumb injury that a lot of people have wondered, what's going on with his hand, his thumb? Why is it wrapped? He shared a little bit more about that last night. We'll talk about that some coming up as well. Also, Deron Davis, he had some interesting things to say about him and his kind of emergence back into the rotation for the Hoosiers, and just a number of things, what the week in general was like for this team. A very tough week. There is absolutely no question about that with them losing two games. So we'll cover those topics and a couple high school notes in our headlines today, presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. Segment two, Greg Doyle, sports columnist with the Indianapolis Star. He will join us. You know, when Greg is with us, it's always exciting and always fun. And our chat with Greg each Tuesday is presented by Coffee Crossing. With Greg today, IU basketball, their struggles, their improbability, I believe, of making the NCAA tournament. Those will all be things that we discuss today as well with Greg when he joins us on the program. We'll catch up on some other things too, and Greg kind of, I'll let him guide the ship with that segment. He's fun to talk to. He's got a lot of interesting things to say. He's got different viewpoints on things, and you just quite never know what you're going to get with Greg when he's with us. So that's what makes it fun and unpredictable when he is on the program Tuesdays. Again, that segment is presented by Coffee Crossing. Later in the program, Mike Pegram is with us. We will talk IU basketball, obviously. We'll look ahead at IU schedule, start to talk about the Minnesota game this weekend, which is a tough one. It's on the road, and Minnesota has played well at times, and really they've played well more than they haven't played well. If you look at their schedule and their record and where they're at right now as far as winning some games, they've played well more in conference play than they haven't. And again, it's a road game, and we know how difficult road games are in this conference. So we'll talk about that some, and just other topics. We'll cover some of the things that Archie Miller brought up last night with Mike when he's with us later in the hour today. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. It's time now for our Hoosier Headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Archie Miller last night on the Coaches Show dropping both games last week, both of them home games. He said, quote, "It was a hard week for us," end quote. That's a very fair statement, I think, for this team, as they had hoped after the Michigan State game to get some momentum going and maybe find themselves back closer or even in the picture for the NCAA tournament. Instead, the week went opposite. They lost not just one, but both games. They were competitive in both games, but again, at this point of the season, if your goal is postseason basketball, NCAA tournament style, you got to win. And Indiana lost so many early that building momentum or playing close, it just doesn't get it done. So Archie Miller, pretty candid about the weekend. He said, quote, "We had a chance to win both games and just weren't good enough in certain areas throughout the course of the game or at the end of the game, being able to finish it properly." He also talked about the physicality of the Ohio State game, even talked about the officials. It was a well-officiated game, he said. Interesting comments, though, on that game. Juwan Morgan, 3 points in the game on Sunday. He did have a career-high 14 rebounds. Archie Miller went in depth on that a little bit, saying it was his best defensive game of the season and that really he was limited in his scoring abilities, obviously only having 3 points because of the way that Ohio State chose to guard him. He said, quote, "Offensively, it was a very different game for him. His normal opportunities in and around the basket were very limited just due to the fact of how they chose to guard him." One other thing he mentioned that obviously is of topic of this show often in Romeo Langford is his shooting and the improvement that even though Indiana's lost, Romeo has seen some improvement with his shooting. And that's been the one knock, I think you could say. He's been consistent outside of that Purdue game a few weeks ago. He's been a leading scorer very often for Indiana. He's often been efficient, not every game, but often been very efficient with his stat line. But the one general thing is what happened to Romeo's shot? You know, in high school, people remember the Southport game and his run to the state championship with New Albany when he was knocking down volleyball line three-pointers and deep three-pointers, him and Sean East out there doing it together. It was just a duo that really we hadn't seen in this area for some time. But his shot, maybe even his senior year wasn't the same. And definitely at Indiana in his freshman year for the Hoosiers have not been the same. And here's just a couple comments, and I'm reading you some quotes verbatim from last night. Archie on Romeo's shooting said, quote, "Sometimes as a young guy goes through the conference race, it's difficult. As you get into February and March, you feel like yourself. You feel like you can play the game. You want to do it." And he's feeling a lot more confident shooting the ball. 42.3% from three, 76.5% from the free throw line. Those are the shooting percentages for him in his last four games, even though Indiana's not been very successful in the last four games. Romeo uptick with his shooting percentages for sure. He mentioned that he has been dealing with a ligament stretch near his thumb on his right hand since high school, which could be, you know, obviously has affected that this season. A lot of people always asking what exactly is the wrap or the contraption or whatever it is on his shooting hand. That gives you a little more detail into that. He said, quote, "It just gets aggravated at times. I think when he gets sort of whacked or bumped on the hand and it becomes sore, to his credit, he plays through it and doesn't say anything." And Miller also said that Langford and the team plan on examining the injury more closely after the season and taking the necessary steps from there. Obviously, with his future and NBA draft stock on the line, people will want to know. That's a big deal. We've talked some about investigation of players, and they want to know what they eat and what their attitudes are like, and they'll interview high school coaches and other people from the communities where these draft prospects come from. They'll want to know what every rap or every injury or every former injury or ever potential injury that's out there with a player, not just Romeo. They'll want to know that. So that obviously will be something that they will look at and consider, I'm sure, when it comes to some of his shooting struggles this year. He also talked last night about Deron Davis. He said, quote, "I think he's the best that he's been all season in terms of mobility and being able to play longer in stretches." And I think that's absolutely true. And I think most of you would agree with that. Deron has been a big piece to this team. Even though they haven't won, they've had some close games, and they did win the Michigan State game. But he's been big. He's made, I think, a difference defensively and to an extent offensively for this Indiana team as well, despite, you know, being out a lot with injuries and a lot of nagging things that have bothered him over the course of the of really his career at Indiana. One other note from last night, Coach Miller mentioned that Jerome Hunter is still recovering from a couple procedures on his lower leg, conditioning now with the team's medical staff. Archie said he's, quote, taking it slow, end quote, and has been set to had a couple setbacks in his recovery from that. But again, no real talk about when he could return next season, if he will return next season. I think you would hope so. You would hope that whatever it is on this talented young man would heal and give him a chance to get back to the game of basketball. He came in as a highly regarded prospect and someone that really behind Romeo right there with him would be the two freshmen you would expect to be contributors on this freshman team. That hasn't worked out that way with him being unavailable basically for the season. Miller did say he was pleased with his progress talking about Jerome Hunter, and he also mentioned Race Thompson. Back in practice, hadn't been able to get in game shape yet since his long, long injury bout with a concussion. Miller hopes that he said that the redshirt freshman will get some minutes down the stretch of this season. But again, is Indiana looking to win? Will they tighten that rotation up at all? Or will he be willing to experiment down the stretch here and see what he can do and if Race can log some minutes that are meaningful for this team? So lots of things covered last night. You don't want to miss that Archie Miller show here on the Big X. It's Monday nights at 7:05. Again, when it's a live show from the Holiday Inn in Bloomington, you're going to get good stuff when you've got Archie Miller for, I don't know, 30, 40 minutes out of the hour. There's always a player guest as well. But make sure you catch that right here with us on Monday nights. It's a great way to stay up to date with everything the coach has to say leading up to some big games coming later in the week as well. Also, I have just, this is kind of a I don't know if it's a feel-good note or not, but yesterday on the program we mentioned that Julian Hunter, a junior at New Albany, was out for the season with his broken leg. That was kind of a freak thing that happened during the Providence game on Friday night. And Jim Shannon confirming that news on Monday that Julian, in fact, had actually broken his leg and would be out for the season. So bad news for New Albany. And yesterday I mentioned talking about the upcoming pairings on Sunday and the high school landscape and the 4A sectional and Floyd Central, how good they're playing, and Jeffersonville could be a threat as well. And I think New Albany, based on their results and how they've played Floyd Central and Jeffersonville and their history of being successful in Seymour, is obviously a threat. And when you take away Julian Hunter, that threat becomes unclear where exactly they will stand. But the good part of a bad story like this or a bad topic like this is, you know, people from the area, even the opposing schools, the big rivals, the teams that are vying to win a sectional, that are quite frankly probably tired of New Albany winning it the last 5 years, as the Bulldogs were hoping to go for six straight. Joe Luce, he calls Julian Hunter to tell him, you know, best of luck. He hated to hear it. Never wants a competitor to be out, especially that way. Also, yesterday I was talking to Todd Sturgeon about a few other things, and he says, hey, we really, Julian Hunter, in our thoughts and prayers. And it's just nice, and this has been taking place across social media as well, and it's just nice to see the positive side of the game. It doesn't matter who it is, from what school, whether it's a rival school, whether it's a team that they could likely play in the sectional or not. Good to see some moments where we rally around not just good players, but good people that have unfortunate things happen to them. So again, we hope that Julian Hunter, I know I certainly do, I talked about this some yesterday, has a full recovery. What a great young man and a great basketball player with a bright future for him. He was really playing well for New Albany. I think he will have a monster senior year if he can get healthy, and I think he will. But our thoughts and prayers continue to be with him, and really awesome to see the area support the kid as they have. And I hope and I think that that would be the case no matter what school or what player it was in the area. Just a lot of good people here that support the game. Yeah, they may compete against each other on Friday nights or in the sectional at Seymour or wherever, but on the same page when it comes to doing what's right and seeing our area as a whole do well. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as the best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. Coming up next, it's Greg Doyle, sports columnist with the Indianapolis Star. That segment each week presented by Coffee Crossing. We'll have Greg next after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Tuesday program. Greg Doyle is always with us on Tuesdays, presented by Coffee Crossing. Brighten your day at Coffee Crossing. Come enjoy our warm atmosphere, friendly service, great drinks, and delicious pastries from 410 Bakery. You can stay inside or use our convenient drive-through at Coffee Crossing. Greg, great to have you with us. IU basketball's struggles continue, and you know I want to spend some time on that with you today. I think you told us last Tuesday that you were going to be at Assembly Hall for both of those games if your schedule worked out, and I'm curious just kind of your initial thoughts when we talk about IU and its struggles right now after losing two at home.
Yeah, they're a hard team for IU fans to watch is what fans tell me, you know, and you know you can hear from them in a million ways, and I do, and they don't enjoy watching this team. And after watching those two games and, you know, just kind of the whole season, I get it. This team is – I mean, look, they have beaten – the NCAA came out with the top 16 seeds. You're preliminarily, but if the season ended right now, here's our top 16 seeds. IU's beaten three of them. They're 13-11. Something's wrong. You know, something's just wrong. They're good enough to beat Marquette, Louisville, and Michigan State on the road. That's – there are probably – off the top of my head, there might be five teams in the country with a better trio of wins than that. And IU's 13-11, and they're not going to the NIT. You know, they're not going anywhere. So IU fans are frustrated, and I get it. This team has way too many stretches where they just don't look like they give a rat's rear end. And maybe they do, but, man, this is a basketball state, and it's built on passion and things like diving on the floor. And there was a time the other night – I forget who they played the other night. Was that Iowa? No, it wasn't Iowa. Whoever they
last
played.
Last game was Ohio State.
Ohio State. There was time the ball was on the floor and four Buckeyes dove for it, four of them, and there wasn't an IU player on the floor. Their best bet was that four guys for Ohio State would conk their heads, knock each other out, and then someone from IU could bend over and pick the ball up. It's just this is not what basketball in Indiana is supposed to be consistently. And the weird thing is no one really understands why this is happening. I mean, I guess the easy answer is Archie Miller's not good enough, and that's just not – the easy answer is not always the right one. You know, it's not – the obvious answer is not – he is. I don't know why this is happening. I don't know why this is happening, but Archie Miller's – his track record says, you know, he's better than this.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. You know, that's, I think, probably the more frustrating thing for anyone that watches the game, especially – diehard IU fans, is that, you know, there are plenty of things with basketball itself, turnovers and defense and shooting at times, and you can get into stuff with individual players where, you know, oh gosh, they didn't do this or should have done this or missed that or whatever. And that's frustrating enough to watch, but that's part of being a fan and supporting a team. I think it's extra frustrating and sends people over the edge. And if you need any examples, see some of the crazy social media stuff out there. Sends people into just disarray when there's the effort is questioned and the energy of a team is questioned. And you did a good job kind of summarizing some of that. As you watch IU, yeah, there are plenty of problems with basketball. But you know what? There are things that even fans and obviously people that know a lot about the game can pick out about some of the best college basketball teams in the country that aren't going right for them at times. But energy and effort, those are two things that are mighty, mighty hard to understand how you can play at a program like Indiana, at a home facility like Assembly Hall with a fan base that's absolutely crazy about the sport in our state, and not come out with energy and effort, especially after you win a big win at Michigan State and come back home in front of your home crowd and friendly confines of your home court.
And Archie's Miller has talked about that. He's volunteered that that's a problem. And he's been much nicer in the last, and by nicer I mean, you know, to his team, about his team publicly. He's no longer calling them soft and scared and saying they're not trying hard enough and all. He's not, and I don't know what's wrong with these guys. You know, he was saying all that stuff earlier. He's gone the other way. He's a coach. He's trying to do whatever can work. The effort thing is there's, near as I can tell, there's two big picture ticket items that have IU fans upset, and I get both of them. One of them is the effort, the lack of passion at times. The other thing is, why can't they shoot? You know, this is Indiana, not just the school but the state. How do you not shoot? This is our game. You can't find shooters. They're shooting, you know, in the country, free throws. They're 321st. I didn't know there were 321 schools. They're shooting 65% from the line. They're shooting the three-point line in the country like 32%, and in the conference they're at 29%, which is 13th, I believe. They can't shoot. Not anybody can shoot. It's a hard team to watch.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, joining us. I guess positives for this team. Romeo Langford has had a good freshman year, and I want to kind of get your update or summarization on that in a moment as well. But he's shooting it better the last couple games. It hasn't equaled success in the win column for Indiana, but it is nice to see him, I guess, when you think personally about his future and NBA, and you see another mock draft come out this week that I think had him, maybe it was 6 that I saw. It is positive, I think, to see him beginning to shoot the ball a little bit better. And Archie Miller talked about that some last night on his coach's show, even talking about a ligament injury, which really has bothered him since his time at New Albany High School.
The ligament injury on his wrist?
Shooting hand, thumb.
Yeah, that's why he's got that white wrap on his wrist.
Yeah.
Well, that would explain it. We're all wondering what's going on. You know, we're all wondering why, as good as he is, he's scoring 17 a game, and I think he's still leading the Big Ten freshman in scoring. And what Archie was saying the other day is that Romeo is third in the whole country in freshman scoring. He said that only the two kids at Duke, and he meant Barrett and Zion Williamson, are scoring more than Romeo as freshmen. I find that hard to believe. You know, in a game dominated by freshmen, I can't believe 17 is good enough for third, but that's what Archie was saying. But, yeah, Romeo in the last four games is 11 for 26, something like that, from three, and that's over 40%, so, or it's right at 40%. So he is shooting better. And I talked to an NBA scout about this for a long time before the game Sunday, and the scout was saying that his shot is not broken, that the numbers aren't good. I mean, they want to see better shooting, but that, I mean, the scout was telling me what I already knew, and what anybody who watches with an objective heart knows, is Romeo has a beautiful shot. I mean, it's going to go. It's going to go down, whether it's this year or in the NBA. He's going to make shots. That's really not the problem. What the NBA wants to see more from Romeo, and I wrote this the other day, is that they want to see him. They want to see some killer instinct. And the thing about Romeo, and you guys know this better than anybody, is that he's such a nice kid and so unassertive is maybe too strong of a word, but he doesn't. He's not an alpha male as far as behavior wise. He's an alpha athlete, but he just soon blend in. I mean, it's one of the things that makes him so lovable is he wants to. I mean, he's a regular guy, but for 40 minutes a day, 2-3 games a week, you need to go be Superman because you are Superman, and it's a switch that if he has, he needs to flip it, and not just because the NBA would like to see it. But Indiana needs it, and I say all that, and I wrote what I wrote the other day, and I tried to actually try to find a way to write this in there and couldn't, so I didn't, just couldn't get it done. Not that I didn't want to, I just couldn't figure out how to do it, and I'll try and say it here maybe, is that I feel bad even kind of writing a little bit what I wrote and saying what I'm saying now if it gives the impression that I'm blaming Romeo, and I'm not. I mean, he's the best player on the team, and the leading scorer on the team, and it's not, he's not the reason they're 13-11. There's a lot of reasons they're 13-11, and he could play better in some ways, but he's not, this is not Romeo's fault. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is he's the only. Okay, here's a better way of saying it. He's not their problem, but he. I should have written this. Damn it. He's not their problem, but he's their solution. He's the only one they got, and if he can't do it, he can't do it. But he's the only solution they got.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. NCAA tournament. I know it's what everybody's talking about, everybody's writing about, everybody's tweeting about. I think you've got to be just wearing a major blindfold right now to think that this team can do anything close to winning out or winning the necessary games down the stretch to give themselves a chance, or even if they have to win a couple in the Big Ten tournament. I think they're capable of doing all of that if they play to their potential, but given how long this bad, it's not even a bad period anymore. It's become, I guess, a bad season. It's just hard to see an opportunity, an opening, a way for this team to string together enough wins or put something together in the conference tournament that gets them to the NCAA tournament. Do you think those hopes are pretty much over? Do you think that it's still possible? I mean, what are your thoughts?
Well, I hate to say it's not possible. This is a team that, again, has beaten, you know, Marquette, Michigan State, and Louisville. They can win games. They've lost 9 of 10, and so it. What I just don't want to do, I don't want to write it, and I don't want to be the guy on the radio. I don't want anything coming back to me saying, "But you said this wasn't going to happen," and this team won 7 of its last 8 games, and they're now in the Sweet 16. I mean, that could happen. This is not a untalented, terrible team that you just know they're not going to win again. That's not what's happening here. We don't know what's happening here. We're not sure why they're not winning. But they've lost 9 out of 10, and they've lost 11 games. They're every year in the tournament, there are a handful of teams with just a whole lot of losses, but they've got a bunch of good wins, and it doesn't matter that, you know, you're 16 and 13 because you got all those wins, and we're going to put you in. And Indiana has enough wins that if they can get maybe 3 more good ones, and I mean good ones, I'm not counting like they're playing Rutgers and they're playing Illinois, and I'm not counting those two, and maybe if they bump into somebody bad in the tournament, which I guess they won't. I mean, if they can beat, you know, Purdue, if they can beat Michigan State, if they can pick off one more big win in the tournament, who knows? So I don't mean to be wishy-washy about this, but there's two Indiana teams. There's a team that can win the games they've won, and there's a team that can go 1-9 in the last 2 months, and I don't know which one we're going to see finish the year. However, I'd say, if you're a betting person, you'd say, well, what are they right now? Well, right now they've lost 9 of 10. Well, then that's where they're going.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. I think last time we had you on a week ago, you were preparing to go see Luke Brown at Blackford with his team. I'm curious how that went.
That kid's fun to watch. He doesn't throw a normal pass. You know, he's leading the state in scoring. He's 36 a game, something like that. And that's fun to watch too, but he's like a little Maravich out there. He doesn't throw normal passes. Almost everything he throws is a look away, and it's not. I mean, he's not a. You'd have to watch, but he's not a show off. He's not a hot dog. He's playing with, you know, he's on a 3A team that doesn't really have 3A ability, and that's a small school. They're barely 3A. They're gonna be 2A next year, but they're not terribly good. They've got a couple nice players, and then he's great. He needs every advantage he can get, and so he looks defenders over here and throws the ball over there. And I don't know how many assists he's averaging a game, 6 or 7, but it could be a lot more. He's special. Now, he's, as it happens all the time in all sports, but specifically basketball, there are guys with all kinds of skill and stats and numbers at whatever level, and everybody wonders, can they play at the next level? You know, Stephen Curry, can he play in the NBA? Well, how about he'll be an all-time NBA great? How about that? You know, there are high school players. Luke Brown, can he play in college? We'll see. I'm not saying he's going to be an all-time great. But that's the question people have of him, is just physically, because he's not terribly strong, and he's well below the rim, you know, and he's not going to get a whole lot bigger. He's 6'1 right now. One comparison physically I've heard about him is Jordan Holes. Only Holes had 40 pounds on him. But as far as skill goes, if the game was played just on offense, because you're only as good as who you can guard. That's what they always say. You can only play – you'll play as much as you can defend. And just physically speaking, nobody knows if he can defend, like in the Big Ten. But offensively, he can walk on a court right now offensively and play in the Big Ten right now.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. This segment is presented by Coffee Crossing. What an interesting thing. I want to get up there and see a game. I saw his three-pointer to become the state's first guy to get to 1,000 point, the quickest in his short career so far, was like a volleyball line three-pointer. Is that right?
Did you see that? It was. And he beat Damon Bailey's record by five or six games. I mean, he didn't just beat him by a game. He beat him by five or six. If he doesn't break Damon Bailey's record, only injuries either can or maybe already have stopped it from happening. He missed half of last season. He was scoring 28 a game. He missed half the year with a stress fracture of some sort in his leg. And just we'll see if there's enough games left in his career. You know, the team has to also be good enough to win some postseason games. We'll just see if he has enough games. But he's just ridiculous scorer and shoots from everywhere. And the shooting things he does, I'll tell you, I didn't write this because I still find it hard to believe, but I've heard this over and over and over. So I'm talking to his coach, Jerry Hoover, and Hoover tells me that he shoots the shooting routine he does, 100 shots from 10 different spots on the court, and he does it all the time. And Jerry Hoover told me this summer when I was at Rosie's reunion, that thing for Jim Rosenstiel, the Lebanon coach. Hoover, and I didn't write, I thought about tweeting it and thought, I can't, no one's going to believe this, but Hoover told me that Luke Brown had shot 100 threes and made 97 of them. And I realized how stupid that sounds. That's what Hoover told me. So, and then Hoover told me again, he told me that again a couple weeks ago or whenever I was there last week, and then I'm in the crowd watching the game with Luke's dad, Ted, and I'm telling Ted what Jerry had told me. And I said, I told him, I can't write that. No one's going to believe that. And this is after I'd watched Luke hit like 40 in a row during warm-ups. I mean, I'd seen him, I mean, not threes, but anyway, I know I'm going on, but I'm telling Ted, I can't write that he shot 97 in a row. And Ted goes, yeah, you can. And I said, how come? Ted goes, because I was rebounding for him.
Wow.
I mean, and maybe I should have written that story. I just realized that when you write something that outrageous, people might just say, okay, none of this is true. Then never mind, because that's not possible. And I'm not saying anybody's lying. I'm just saying it's so fantastic that unless I see that with my own eyes, I just cannot write the words. He made 97 out of 100 threes. I can't do it.
If you know Hoover, and of course you do, but you know he's not the most savvy guy when it comes to technology, but you know, you would think he would pull his phone out or have somebody video it. That would be a heck of a clip that people would watch over and over and over again, probably get thousands and maybe millions of views. A guy hit 97 of 100.
97, right, and not that he can do it again, but if you can do it once, you can come close again. And I'm sure, yeah, they need to do that. That, you know, we see all these trick shots on YouTube and whatnot. I think we'd all watch however long it takes to shoot 100 shots. If you're going to make 90-plus, we will all watch. I don't say that as a challenge. Like, prove it now, guy. I believe them. I just know how people are, and I'm not writing that because I know a lot of people won't believe it, and I don't want them not believing what I write, so I'm just going to leave that one out.
I had the opportunity a couple times, I don't know, two, three, four times maybe, to go to Hoover's camp in the summer up at it's in Fort Wayne still, it's switched locations, and he's got some great nighttime stories for the coaches when there are beverages out and pizzas to go around, and this was before his Blackford days and before the Luke Brown days. I can't imagine the stories that he will have during and after this unbelievable spectacle of Luke Brown completes his career. But what a neat story for that part of the state and for high school basketball in general.
Yeah, it's the kind of story that I guess other states might have things like this, but people don't go crazy when they do. In our state, we're going crazy. There are 3,500 people going to every game. That's a town of not even twice that, like a town of 6,000 people, and their gym has 3,500 every night that they play. And it's real quick. The gym gets so full that the scoreboard, these things are apparently wireless, the scoreboard was breaking. It wasn't working because the gym was too full, and it was lagging behind, and all the field and the cell phones, whatever, it wasn't working. And so they had to buy the state-of-the-art, the best scoreboard to handle the load of Internet people in their gym. So, in other words, Luke Brown broke the scoreboard, which is crazy. But because of the money they have, and this is a school that's, like a lot of schools, I mean, until Luke came around, the town was dying, and the school is shrinking, and no money, and their consolidation's happening next year, in fact. And Well, they wrote a check for the new scoreboard because Luke Brown did that. I mean, he broke the scoreboard and he bought the new one. It's remarkable.
Wow, amazing stuff. One final thing. I know I've kept you longer than what I should, but I've got to bring this up, and much to the ire, I'm sure, of some IU fans. But I mentioned this yesterday. Tom Crean gets a top five recruit at Georgia. His team, I think, is 1-9 or something like that in SEC play, which is expected in a takeover year, a first year for a coach. But he kept the guy from Atlanta. I forget his name. Anthony Edwards, a guard that's highly rated in the, I guess it's, is it the 19 class? But he kept him at home.
Yeah, and IU fans on Twitter are not happy about it. And I'm seeing some silly stuff. I'm seeing, like, you know, Kelvin Sampson's got Houston 23-1.
Yes.
And Tom Crean's got this recruit, and Archie Miller has IU 13-11. You know, what, Fred Glass, what are you doing? Which is, I mean, those are all facts. I get it. Those are all facts, but the conclusion is not, Fred Glass, what are you doing? One conclusion is, Kelvin Sampson's a cheater. Someone emailed me and said, I still can't believe Kelvin Sampson's doing what he's doing at Houston, and he should still be the coach here. I'm like, wait a minute, I don't care how small you think the rule was that he broke. He broke it at Oklahoma, got caught, then broke it again at IU, and I don't know anything, so I'm not accusing, but I'll just say what coaches say about rule breaking in general. For every rule, when someone's broken rules, those are like cockroaches. And for every cockroach you see, there's a lot of them in the wall you don't see. So anybody talking about, let's get Kelvin Sampson's back here, you've lost your damn mind.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg, always fun. Thanks so much for the time, and you know, we'll do it again next week.
Good, Matt. Yep, talk to you. Bye.
All right, Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. This segment is presented by Coffee Crossing. They bring you Greg every week. Don't forget, a fourth Coffee Crossing location is coming this spring. It'll be the Coffee Crossing Sellersburg location, located right out Charlestown Road by I-65 interchange at Ivy Tech, another convenient location for Coffee Crossing. Check that out coming this spring. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, more IU basketball. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com will be my guest, and we'll catch up on what's coming up this week for the Hoosiers and a lot more after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment on this Tuesday program. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com is my guest. Obviously, we're going to talk some IU basketball in this segment. And Mike, I've covered it, talked about it, reported on it, given my thoughts, talked about what Coach Miller had to say last night on his coach's show as far as what last week was for Indiana. And we'll start briefly with that before we look into the future and what's next for this team. But a week at home after a big, big win on the road, and it sure did not result in maybe the turnaround you could say that it could have for this team.
No, you know, especially Sunday, because Ohio State is pretty much middle of the road Big Ten team. And when you get a middle of the road Big Ten team at home, you've got to get the victory. And when you've had three straight home losses, you know, before that, it was just it was really a devastating defeat for Indiana. Even more so because they did come back to get the late 3-point lead with you know, roughly 90 seconds left, and sure looked like they're going to win the game, but they didn't score from that point on.
Yeah, absolutely. Talking with Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, IU basketball, the subject with Mike is with us on Tuesdays. Last night on the Coach Miller show from the Holiday Inn in Bloomington, a couple of interesting things from Archie, I thought. First off, Race Thompson, he's cleared to play. It looks like he's been practicing to a certain extent, but still has not been able to get into game shape. And I guess with the type of injury he had, it was a concussion and obviously a severe one at that, and the amount of time that he missed where he strictly was not really doing much, if any, physical activity at all. I guess it's just a hard thing to bounce back from, even if you're healthy, to be in game shape to be put out there in a Big Ten game.
Yeah, Weaver, you know, I had heard that he might have gone out there at the Ohio State game. He was ready. It was more of a 50-50 kind of call. And I told people, you know, be ready for him to come in. He's ready. You know, he's been cleared. I think what happened with him, he also got a case of strep throat or something after, you know, really being cleared to play full court again. And that set him back again with that, what you're talking about, not being in game shape and then getting sick. You know, the instincts and everything you have to have, you know, take some time and to be successful. And it's not like Race is, a top 50 super-duper talent. But I think he could help this team because he's a tough, hard-nosed kid. Father was a tremendous football player, and he can hit a jumper. There's some things I think he could help with this team, but he needs time. He's not a uber talent that can play through not having his instincts.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com, is my guest. Minnesota, that's the next game for IU. They go at Minnesota on Saturday. Minnesota, I talked a little bit about them yesterday. They've been a team that at times has played really, really well. At other times you think, is that the same team maybe you saw in the last game out? But at home, they've had some things here lately with them as well. It's a big game for both teams. And Indiana's getting to a point where, fans are losing interest. The season is obviously went really bad. Not good for guys like you and I that have you a website and me a radio show necessarily, pretty much about IU basketball this time of year, at least for the most part. But it is what it is. Indiana, just not even for NCAA tournament purposes or for any purposes at all, but for the program and the fan base and confidence and energy and just to finish out the season in a respectable manner at the minimum, they need a win on the road, and the opportunity to get one at Minnesota is possible, but it's not going to be easy.
No, it's, a middle-of-the-road team. Minnesota is better because they got back Amir Coffey, and they picked up a good shooter, and Gabe Kalshar, the guy that Indiana had shown interest in. And again, I didn't get it off on a tangent, but you look at Wieskamp at Iowa and this Gabe Kalshar at Minnesota, picking up a shooter with good size just makes all the difference in the world for some of these teams, and that's what Indiana is missing. But that's a topic for another day. But Minnesota's better because Coffey is back. He's a potential Big Ten time player, a guy with professional potential, a multi-dimensional 6'7" guy. And then they also have picked up a good solid freshman big and Daniel Otoro inside. And they still have Jordan Murphy. Seems like he's been there for about 8 years now. And some solid other players. So they have the ability to knock off any team, especially up in Minnesota. But they are kind of a bubble team, similar to Ohio State team that Indiana played on Sunday.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com, joining us. For this team, and let me just ask you this point blank. Are fans losing interest? I mean, you've got a great way to track it through your website and the discussion forum that can be so lively at times when there are successes or defeats for the program. But do you feel like are fans checking out of this season for Indiana? I'm curious.
No, we had really good attendance in our Monday night chat last night, even though there was no promises of any Keon Brooks news or anything. I feel like there's always hope. Indiana's already signed a 5-star and has a chance to get another 5-star. And they've had some, injuries and so forth that people know, hopefully it will be, not the case in the future years. But, I took a picture of the student section before the game on Sunday, and it was only about 1/3 full at tip-off. Now, students arrived late and it got much better, but the energy in the building Sunday was markedly below Thursday's game against Iowa. There was hope with the Iowa game coming off the Michigan State win. There was energy. Even though the record wasn't there, they had hope. But Sunday, I didn't sense that in the crowd. And I think that contributed a little bit to the slow start. And, they did get it together, maybe boosted by the halftime show. But Indiana did make a good second half showing. But the crowd wasn't the same, the attendance wasn't the same, and I think that's the first impact we've really seen of this losing streak.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, is with us. I've asked you this before. I'm going to ask you this again. You mentioned Keon Brooks and get you thinking about recruiting. I know you've said no to this question before when we were talking back in January, like a 6-game, 7-game losing streak at that time. But with this season going so sour, if this continues and Indiana does not finish on a bit different of a higher note than where they are now, can that hurt the one thing that definitely has went right for Archie Miller so far, and that's been recruiting with Romeo and the 18 class and, of course, Trace Jackson Davis in the 19 class, which also could include Keon Brooks. But it's at some point, if it's not just a losing streak or some bad moments, but it becomes a bad season, and I think we're at that point, really, unless Indiana just wins out or does something crazy or makes a deep run in the Big Ten tournament that changes people's opinions in some way. Does this affect recruiting? Does this season somehow, some way affect Archie's success in the recruiting front?
Honestly, I don't think so. I think I've seen it happen before. I think the class with Thomas Bryant, Juwan Morgan, OG Anunoby, people are asking, well, how can they recruit well? I think that was coming off that really disappointing team with Noah Vonley that, didn't make the tournament and just really struggled. You saw it even last year with Romeo choosing Indiana despite a bad season on the win-loss mark. But I think that it doesn't really hurt in recruiting when the coach's position is secure but the team is struggling, because the playing time opportunity is so attractive to recruits. And as long as they know that's the staff they're going to play for, I don't think it actually impacts most recruitments.
Talking with Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, about a variety of IU basketball topics here today. One final topic to bring up is Romeo Langford and Archie Miller last night actually addressing this a bit, talking about his shooting hand and the wrap that's been on his wrist, thumb, whatever, however that contraption works, and the fact that it's been an injury, a nagging injury that even dates back to his high school days. Now that that's kind of been made more public and discussed by Coach Miller on his show, do you think that clearly explains some of maybe his shooting woes, which I hate to call them woes because they've gotten better? I mean, even though Indiana's not seen the success, his shot has improved here over the last number of games. Does that kind of add up, though, as to what you think maybe some of the problems were this season?
Yeah. It's funny, I wrote a story before the show last night, but didn't put it up until after the show. It probably lesson learned there, but it was pretty much pointing out that his shot rate has improved both from the line and three-point line, and the stats kind of very much back that up in the three-point shot. And I didn't really make it a column, but if I had, I would have said that I think Romeo's shot selection has improved on the longer shots, especially. And I think he's realizing what shots he can hit. But I do think, yeah, it's hard to say how much of a wrap or that wrist is impacting him. But I do think that he has not quite been the shooter that I think we all know he can be. We saw so many things, especially in that sophomore year run to the state championship where he just shot the lights out from deep. And so maybe there's a little, it could be psychological also with the wrist, how much that plays into it. But I do think he's adjusted a little bit to his injury. How much of an injury, again, I don't know. But I think he's figured out what can work for him, given that limitation, that feeling in his wrist. And he needs to get some credit for that. And that was kind of the point of my story. But he does put a lot of tape, if you noticed, on his wrist before each game and plays through that.
Mike, we've got time here. I'm going to ask you at least one more question, staying on the Romeo topic. I had someone bring this up to me yesterday and was curious, and I gave him my thoughts, but I'm curious what yours are. Does Indiana tanking this season, and let's say that things continue and the season ends the way that January and February have generally went, if this just ends up a really, really bad season as you look back on the history of IU basketball. Does it hurt Romeo in his draft stock or status for this summer, or is it all strictly just an individual thing that NBA guys know what they're looking for, what it takes to play at that level, what skills are natural that you can't teach, and what skills can be taught and improved on at the professional level? Or does the success of the team and the record of the team, can it help or hurt his draft stock at all, or is it really an individual thing?
Well, history has shown that it doesn't. You know, some of the recent draft choices, like Ben Simmons is one example, the guys going first overall have come from teams that have struggled, or, you know, in their team, the 1 year in college, they didn't do very well. And losing records or what have you. So no, in that respect, no, but I do think, you know, maybe it does a little bit. You know, Romeo hasn't quite had the higher, you know, mock draft situations that he had maybe a month or two ago. But again, I think a lot will depend. He can erase a lot of things with the workouts that he would do, you know, that shooting issue that we talked about. But maybe a small amount, but history has shown that it doesn't, you know, impact your draft status too much.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. He joins us Tuesdays to talk IU basketball. Mike, as always, thanks for the chat. Great stuff, and we'll do it again next week. We'll see what happens with this IU team Saturday at Minnesota.
We'll talk Tuesday night. Thank you.
Absolutely. Mike Pegram with us Tuesdays. That wraps things up on this Tuesday edition of the program. I want to give a quick plug as well. And you're going to hear me mention this a lot, but it's one of my favorite things to do every year. We're having our tournament pairings special on Sunday. So what'll happen from 5 to 7, we'll have the network coverage from Indianapolis of all the IHSA boys basketball, a sectional pairings from across the state of Indiana, which will include all the local sectionals, as well as the IHSA releases things on a class-by-class basis. When that comes to a close from 7 to 9 p.m., we'll have our tournament pairing special live, and I'm going to talk to 9 different area high school basketball coaches, a couple from 1A, a couple from 2A, a couple from 3A, 3 from 4A, Sturgeon, Luce, and Shannon. It'll be a lot of fun. We'll review the pairings. We'll take a look at how things shake out, and we'll hear directly from the coaches, not only about the pairings, but about their teams as we enter the final week, week and a half, 2 weeks of high school basketball for the year. Have a great Tuesday. Stay dry, and we'll be back Wednesday at 11 o'clock right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.